The following presentation is brought to you by Heart Brain
Media Group. Capturing the moments that make life great. Let's go, girls.
It's about growing personally and professionally.
What's the one thing that really drives you, that really drives your passion?
It's about climbing the ladder or opening a new door.
Too many people give up too early on their dream.
It's about enjoying your professional journey.
I enjoy what I do.
It's about keeping things real.
So the interview is an interview. I like this.
It's all about you.
But I knew that there was something else I wanted to do with my life. I knew I wanted to help people.
This is Up or Out with Connie Fife.
We love your voice. You need to be on radio.
And now, your host, Connie Fife.
Well, hello, this is Connie Fife, your unstoppable diva, and this is Up or Out, the business radio with an edge. And today's guest is Jason Forrest, and so exciting. And Jason, I was looking over your information, your background, what you do, and I was super, super impressed and so excited that you were going to be on the show today. So let me formally introduce you so everyone knows who you are. This is Stevie Award winner Jason Forrest, who is the CEO and Chief Culture Officer, and he's created a sales and sales management training program that's regarded as being the most effective, most sustainable in the world. And this program has won 3 Stevie Awards, and it's earned Jason the reputation of being one of the world's top sales trainers. I mean, there's other awards that he's received, Training Magazine, Top Young Trainer of the Year, and his book, Leadership Sales Coaching, won Selling Power's Best Books for Success Award. I mean, I'm losing my breath just talking about all the awards that you've received, Jason, and you currently serve as the chairman of the National Speakers Association Million Dollar Speakers Group. So welcome to the show. How do you even have time with everything that you have going on?
Well, I think, for me, you probably heard this a lot, but we can either define words have meaning, right? And you can define kind of what you do in different ways. But, some people define what they do as work. Some people define what they do as a career. Right. I define what I do as my mission, and it's just okay. So to me, when it's your mission, I mean, you just love doing it, and I create a business around my mission. And so for me, it's time kind of flies by pretty quick because it's just what I want to do.
Well, I want to really jump into what you do, how you win those amazing awards, and talk about more about your sales team and your process and how you get people really taking a deep dive and wanting to do more. But I do need to take a quick sponsor break because they're the ones paying the bills. So hang in there just a few minutes and we'll be right back. Hi, this is Connie Fife, your unstoppable diva, your host of Up or Out with Connie. I am thrilled to be a headline show on C-Suite Network, where you can grow your brand, grow your tribe, and be unstoppable. We are the hottest podcast for entrepreneurs, C-level executives, and market leaders. And you can hear me each week right here on the C-Suite Network. Also on Conscious Business Network, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, and over 900 stations around the globe. Be sure to follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Thanks for listening. Be bold, be connected, and be unstoppable. And we're back, and you're listening to Up or Out with Connie, and today's guest is Jason Forrest. So, Jason, tell us more again about how you work with businesses, how you are able to increase profitability.
Yeah, great. So there's really 3 things I focus on, and really very simply, I mean, when someone says, hey, Jason, what do you do? And I say, I'm the guy that CEOs bring in to increase their sales, increase their profitability, and create a best place to work. And of course, they say, well, gosh, how do we do that? And because really, if you think about it, I call it the unicorn trifecta, because if you're an organization or a C-level executive that's mm-hmm. just focused on high growth, well, that means you're probably going to be close to revenue yourself into bankruptcy. Mm. And so many times companies are so focused on more sales, they don't focus on how do we make more money. Or number 3, they focus on how to create a best place to work, but they're not actually getting anything done. It's a lot of fun, but they're not actually being productive. And so I'm really obsessed with how do we do all three? How do we really drive that profit through people, which really matters more than anything else? And I think that's an important thing for all C-level executives to focus on is how do we do that? How do we improve the productivity of our people?
So creating that type of productivity, it's really becoming creating a culture. So how would a company who does not have that culture right now, I mean, one, how quickly can they turn that culture around within their company? And then number two, how quickly can they turn that so they are increasing profitability and also increasing productivity within the company?
That's awesome. Yeah, we have a concept called the Unleashed Business Blueprint, which is what we focus on how to actually do that for our organizations or for our clients. And I would say the first thing that a person needs to realize is that everyone has a culture. It just might not be the culture that they desire in order to get to the outcome that they're really searching for, right? So culture is nothing more than the beliefs of an organization, or more important, or more simply put, it's what happens behind the boss's back. Because we know that when the boss is there, the people are going to be extremely productive. They're going to do exactly what they're supposed to do, right? Their job description says. The question is, what are they doing? Like, if you're a C-level executive, you're listening to this interview, like, what are your people actually doing? And do you know what they're doing? Which is kind of a fun question to ask, right? And do you believe that they're doing the things that are most productive for your organization? And so I would say, number one is you got to just make sure that you understand that you already have a culture, just might not be in line with what you want.
Right.
Number two, the most important thing I would say in order to really drive people's productivity is the first thing is you want to make sure everyone has alignment with what I call a primary question. And so, for example, if the overall primary question of a business, or like FPG, our primary question is, how do we have year-over-year Inc. 5000 qualified growth, and that's at least a 50% year-over-year growth, while sustaining our net profit goal, while sustaining our best place to work? And at FPG, we've done all three, and we've not done it 2 years in a row. And so I share that because that's our primary question. Well, then I have to look at each of my employees and I have to say, okay, well, what is their biggest contribution to that primary question? Mm-hmm. And therefore, each employee must have their own primary question. So for example, let's say you're in sales. Well, they all have a primary question. The problem is it the right question that's going to get you to the outcome you desire? So for example, the primary question of a salesperson needs to be, how do I move a sale forward today? Mm-hmm. But most salespeople, their primary question, if they're not taught that or they're not aligned to that, the primary question is, man, I hope I get a better prospect today. I hope I get a qualified prospect today. I hope I get someone that's interested and ready, willing, and able that wants to give me their money. I hope that the marketing department gets me a better lead. I hope I get a better product to sell. I hope I get a better price. I hope I get, a better opportunity. They're asking really the wrong questions. So therefore, that's going to lead them to a certain outcome. And so what you want to do as a leader is you want to make sure that each of your employees, based upon their job, it has the right primary question.
So how does a company know what that right question is? I mean, how can you right now help our listeners define what is that right question that they, as someone sitting in an executive seat, should be asking of themselves and the company? And then how do they help their team understand what the right question is to continue to drive productivity?
Great. Yeah, that's a great question. So I would say that the first thing you just want to do is say, okay, well, let's look at their job function. Like, what are they actually, what is the highest thing that they can do? Like, the most important thing they could be doing for us in that job function, what is that? And then that would basically create the question. So for example, you heard sales, so let's take marketing. So marketing would be, how do I bring in another lead today?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Operations, I think the primary question of operations is, how do I improve the employees' focus today? So how do I make them more efficient and effective today?
I'm hearing it. You start right off with not what will happen, but how do I? So how do I make it happen? And I think that's the premise of what I'm hearing you say, is that, it's not the question of when will it happen, is how do I make that happen today?
Yeah, so it's great that you said that. Actually, one of the things that we teach in our program is there are two questions that you always want to ask, and that is what and how. So it's what can I do to make a difference, and how can I be more effective? And those two questions are what we call above the line questions that are highly profitable, versus the why, when, and who questions are the why non-profitable questions. So who can I blame for this? When is someone else going to do their job so I can do my job? And why is this always happening to me? And so you always want, so words have meanings, and asking the right question is very, very, very important in order to drive that profitability.
So, when you really break it down, I mean, it's pretty simple. And again, it's the how do I, it's the what do I, rather than how or who. Like you said, you're not pointing the finger at somebody else. It's coming right back to you. And it's giving you, the employee, or even the business owner, ownership of what it is that you're doing, and that, and how do I, and how will I increase that bottom line for the company?
Yeah, correct. And yeah, what is my best, how can I best serve the organization, which is really important, because, you know, it goes back to the, you know, we all know the John F. Kennedy quote, right? It's what can I do for the country,
right?
Not what the country can do for me. And that's important. I mean, that's one of the things that we teach our FPGers, our company, is we say, look, you know, stop focusing on what FPG can do for you. Start focusing on what you can do for FPG. Mm-hmm. The more you focus on what you can do for FPG and contribute the most, I promise you, I will take care of you. I will give you endless pay raises if you were focused on what you could do for FPG. But if you were focused on what FPG could do for you, one, you won't get a pay raise, and two, you'll probably get fired.
And you probably get fired. Exactly. So. So share more about FPG. What is it that you do?
Yeah. So again, so we're the company, again, that CEOs bring in to do really those three things: to increase sales, increase profitability, and create that best place to work. And we do it through a series of training programs versus events. And the reason why we've won all of those behavioral change awards, mm-hmm. because, you know, it's interesting, because the training industry spends, I want to say it's about $160 billion a year across the United States in training, but yet 70% of them fail to reach their ROI.
Right.
So mm-hmm. we are the 30%. Last year we had over 30 clients that were in our full-fledged program across 11 different industries, and all of them made their numbers, all of them.
Wow.
So if you were to turn FPG into a mutual fund, we would beat the small index fund by 2.5%. So 2.5 times.
Okay.
But it's because it's about really just creating kind of these systems and processes in play. So we got a program called Warrior Selling, teaches salespeople how to sell. We got a program called Leadership Coaching, teaches managers how to be better leaders, better coaches. We have a program called Service Unleashed about customer service. And of course, the Leadership Culture Program about how do you drive profit through people and create this best place to work type of environment.
So any plans turning it into a fund?
No, that's a great idea. We actually are working right now with some hedge fund investors that when they go in and actually do some like angel investing with companies, they're actually bringing us in to actually be a part of it because of our track record.
Nice. Well, good for you. Good for you. All right. Well, we need another break here. But before we go there, let our listeners know how they can learn more about you. And where can they go? Website, telephone number, whatever you want to share.
Absolutely. So, I mean, our website's is fpg.com. So F is in forest, P is in performance, G is in group. So fpg.com.
Okay.
And we also have a special offer, right, for the listeners here.
Okay. Well, let's jump right into it. Go ahead.
We have a special offer. So on May 24th, as a part of the C-Suite Network with Jeffrey Hazlett, we've got an event called the Unleashed Business Blueprint event. It's happening on May 24th, the day following the C-Suite event. And again, it's where we spend about 4 hours working with C-level executives and department heads of companies on creating this Unleashed Business Blueprint, on taking them through the exact cadence of accountability to do these three things. And so as a listener of this, you guys are getting a discount for that.
All right. So Jason, so you have a code. So it is going to be May 24th is going to be in Dallas, Texas, and it is going to be following the C-Suite program. So we're there Monday for the C-Suite Advisors Group, Tuesday for the C-Suite Conference, and then you're following the very next day, Wednesday. And I know that you have a discount that you are offering for anyone that wants to go. And what is that?
Awesome. So they get 25% off of the ticket price for being a listener of your show. And the code that they type in is up or out.
And they register right on your website.
They need to go to fpgseminar.com. So fpgseminar.com.
Okay.
You got to register, and then there'll be a place for a promo code, and they just need to type in up or out, and they'll get 25% off of as many tickets as they would like to purchase.
So just a little bit more about that conference. And so it's an all day event, all day program. And so it's a half day. Okay. So then what can people expect to get from you then?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So again, so we're a training organization. So we're not your typical, you know, come and learn a bunch of stuff and kind of have that love you and leave you type of concept that you feel with a lot of these events.
Good, I don't like those.
You do not. So they're actually going to leave with a blueprint. They're going to leave with all of our templates, all of our agendas. I mean, I include everything. I include our actual one-page business plan. They will fill out a one-page business plan. They will leave with an actual meeting agenda for our annual meeting that we do, our quarterly meeting, our monthly meeting, our weekly meeting, our daily huddles. They will leave with the actual agendas for each and every single one of those.
Okay.
We also, once a quarter, we send out a 21-question culture survey to all of my employees, and they sit and spend 30 minutes coaching me on how to create a better culture for them.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
We give them the 21 questions that we ask all of them, and all 21 of those questions have led us now to win the 6th best place to work in Fort Worth, as well as one of Inc. magazine's best places to work.
Nice, nice. Very, very nice. All right. So we do have another sponsor break, so I'm going to take that break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Greg Davis. Connie asked me to pop in for a moment to tell you about a great opportunity. Have you ever listened to a podcast and thought, I should be doing that, but I don't know how, I don't know where to start? Well, Up or Out with Connie Fife has partnered with Park Lane Media Group to offer you PMR podcast production. What is PMR? Production, marketing, response. The three key elements you need to successfully build your podcast success. For more information, visit parklanemediagroup.com or email podcast@parklanemediagroup.com and be sure to let them know that Connie sent you. You have a story to tell. We'll help you share it. Come to parklanemediagroup.com today and start building your podcast success.
All right, we are back and we're hanging here with Jason Forrest. And if you didn't catch that right before the break, he is having an event coming up in Dallas, Texas, and it is on May 24th. And you can go on and register at fpgseminar.com and type in up or out, and you will get a 25% discount. So I want to see you there because I know I'm going to be there. So Jason, this is the part where we put you in the hot seat. Like you were saying before, I don't like to be all fluff. I want to get into the meat of things. I want to know about the person and who you are. And you answered one of my questions earlier in the show, which is, what do you tell people that you do? So that's similar to some of the questions that I'm going to be asking. So if you are ready, we're going to jump right into it.
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right, let's go. So we're going to start with, what advice would you give to your younger self?
You know, I think the advice I give to my younger self that I realized a few years ago when I created my purpose statement, and I actually wear it around my neck at all times, and that is, the purpose of my life is to be a leader that enjoys life, love, and the transformation of myself and others. And the key phrase there is to enjoy it. For so long, I would focus so much on love or focus so much on life or the transformation of others, but I just didn't enjoy it along the way. And so that, to me, that just enjoying the life, love, and the transformation of myself and others is probably the main message I would tell my younger self.
Love it. I love that you have a necklace. I actually tattooed mine on my back.
There you go. That's awesome. Love it.
I was never leaving. It's like, once I figured it out, I'm like, tattooing it.
That's it. You gotta do that.
What's your favorite success quote?
The quote that's on our wall in our hallway when we walk into this office every day, and it is my main quote that I live my life by, and that is, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And it means when you change the way you look at life change, you change the way you look at customer service or culture or leadership or parenting, it all changes. And that one single quote really does change everything, because there's a great book called The Course in Miracles, and I believe Marianne Williamson made a book called Return to Love that kind of summarized the book. You know, and she talks about that the definition of a miracle is not asking for things to be easier. The definition for a miracle is, how can I see things differently?
Yes.
And that to me is, that's key, because if you just do that, you can have endless miracles in your life.
Absolutely. Love it. So did you know what you wanted to do right from the very start?
No. I mean, I was very fortunate in the sense that I grew up in a very self-help kind of family. So My mom is a college professor that teaches public speaking, and she's one teacher of Texas, and a great, you know, teaches public speaking. So she's great teacher. And then my father, great role model. Yeah. And my father, you know, growing up, we would take road trips and he would always be listening to Earl Nightingale or Dennis Waitley or, you know, Silva Mind Control. He'd be listening to these kind of things. And so I was really raised with this concept of, you know, just constantly believing that I am the problem, but I'm also the solution. And then I succeed or I fail, it's all on me. And he would constantly say, Jason, you succeed or you fail, it's all on you. If you want the girl, you want the job, you want to be a starter in football, whatever it is, you succeed or you fail, it's all on you. Later on in life, I've adapted my own version of that, which is, I am the problem, I'm also the solution.
Right.
And but that I would say, so for a long time, I lived my life like that. Oh, and also my Sunday school teacher was Zig Ziglar. So that's kind of a fun.
Oh, wow.
A little thing there, yeah. So I really wanted to be a dentist, but I decided to be a motivational speaker instead.
Oh, I was a Sunday school teacher for years. I don't know if anybody's like, yeah, Connie Fife was my Sunday school teacher. You never know.
You never know. Someday
it might happen. Yeah. I mean, just what you're saying now, I would like to see more people look at life that way. You know, just to say, you know, I'm not part of the problem. Let me be part of the solution. And I know that, you know, we hear that a lot, but just that, I mean, you have that in you from such an early age. I would like to see so many more people instill that, you know, those qualities. So
here's a good way to do it. So I have a thing that I do with my children when I take them to school. So I travel majority of the week, but a couple days a week I get to take my kids to school, and I use that as very precious time. So I call it daddy's programming time.
Oh, okay.
Because programming drives our beliefs, which drive our emotions, which drive our motivation, which drives our behavior, which drives, of course, what we receive and our results.
Right.
And so, you know, so we go through kind of a series of little drills in the morning. And one of the drills I ask them is, I'll say, so kids, would you like for things to be easier today, or would you like for you to be better? And they'll say, we want to be better. And I'll say, why? And they'll say, because asking for things to be easier is a fool's choice. And I'll say, well, why don't you want to be cool? And they'll say, well, because if you take the wrong way, it'll work sometimes. If you take the right way, it'll work most of the time. And so we have this kind of like routine that we go through, and I teach them these different virtues.
Right.
And each virtue is all based upon superheroes and the virtues. We give examples. But to your point, I mean, look, every parent can do it. I mean, the cool thing about humans is that they're all very programmable, you know, and we're not, you know, we have brains that allow us to be very malleable and change. And it's never
too late to do it.
Never too late.
It is never, ever, ever too late to do it. My brother was struggling. He's a restaurateur. And just recently we were having the conversation and he's like, you know, because he just started doing this in the last couple of years. And I said, look it, Kentucky Fried Chicken didn't start until he was in his 70s. And of course, my brother's like, I knew you would say that.
That's right. Never too late.
But it's never too late. It's just never too late. So back to our questions here. So, I mean, all leaders, I mean, everybody has failures. Everybody has successes. And there's people look at it differently. So how do you look at a failure?
Oh, I love failure. So we have a thing every week that we do called Fess It and Fix It. So every Thursday we do Fess It and Fix It. And it's something that I learned from the Blue Angels. That's what they do as well. And so it's all about how do we become better and grow. And so every Thursday someone has to, you know, every person in my company goes around and says, I fess up to this mistake and here's how I'm going to fix it next time. And now what's interesting is the first time I rolled this out to my team, and of course I roll it out to my clients now as well, they'll say, well, what if we didn't make any mistakes? And my answer is always, then you're not pushing it fast enough.
Right.
No, now, I do say, I do not want you to make the same mistake twice. Yes. So I think that's a careless, reckless mistake. But if you're making strategic mistakes because you're trying new things, you're pushing the envelope forward, I'm totally okay with that. And I expect that to happen because I want to constantly innovate and constantly grow. So I'm a huge proponent of that. I'm also a proponent of I cannot fail, I can only learn and grow. And just this idea of when we lose, we learn, you know, and that's a huge belief system that we need to all kind of have in our mind, is that when we lose, we learn. And you look at that from a sales perspective, it's huge because, most salespeople, they lose 99% of the time.
That's right.
99% of the time, you know, and we forget about that. And so, but they gotta learn every time from the loss on what they can do differently next time so they can improve every single time.
And we use something similar to that, you know, when something happens and we have those conversations and, you know, sitting with the crew, and but we come back and the word is we have an opportunity. And so then we dive into that. And again, what is that opportunity? Because we know it didn't work this way. So now the opportunity is to look at it differently. So that's the path that we take for that, that everything is an opportunity.
In life, every single person, you can either say life's happening for me or happening to me.
Right.
And you're right. I mean, any situation, I mean, you have two different people that both go through the exact same circumstance, and one will say, this is a gift. This happened for me, and now I know exactly what to do differently next time. The other person says, this happened to me, and I can't pass this now.
Yeah, and actually, there's similar conversations like that with former CEOs of Girl Scouts around the country. You know, when a lot of us lost our job in 06, and you know, I said that was a gift for me because I was able to take inventory and say, okay, what can I do with that next? And I actually know a couple of my executives that are still struggling 11 years later about what are they going to do next with their life. So yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. You put two people in the room, one is going to take it as a gift and run with it, and then somebody else is going to look at it a little bit differently. You never know. So what was one of your greatest wins in life when you really looked at something and you said, I got this. I know exactly what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
Well, I mean, I would say one of my biggest wins was when I decided to become a $1 million qualified speaker. I mean, that would be my biggest win. You know, and that was, you know, I was 32 years old. So unfortunately, I wasn't the youngest. I was the second youngest. Rory Vaden is the youngest. So he beat me by a few years. So I'm not happy about that, but it's okay.
What at that?
So I'm the second youngest, which doesn't have a really good ring to it. But, you know, I would say my biggest win is I hired a guy named, I was making about $150,000 a year doing speeches. And I found this guy, Steve Siebold, who is, you know, the author of Mental Toughness. And He owns the Bill Ghost Speech Workshop. And so I went to his speech workshop, paid, I don't know, $4,000 or $5,000 back then. And then I went to him and he said, I said, do you have any private kind of coaching? Because I've always been into coaching. And he said, yeah, I got a course. It's like 20 grand. I think now it's more than that. It should be more than that. And so I went through this 52-week program on really kind of reinventing myself when it came to be a better speaker, being that $1 million speaker. And I would say that, you know, I would say that was probably the greatest victory, to go from, you know, 150 grand a year in speeches to over $1 million a year in speeches. It took me about 2 years to basically get there.
Right.
But just reinventing yourself and knowing that it's all in you, and just what is that cross pattern strategy in order to make that happen, and knowing that there's a mentor out there that's doing it, and what is that person doing that I'm not doing, and then surrendering my ego, which I think is an extremely important thing for a lot of people to do, is surrender my ego. And it's interesting because a lot of people will call me that are, you know, they're thinking about joining this program. And they'll say, you know, why are you the only one? Because he's actually created a lot of six-figure speakers. I'm the only seven-figure speaker he's created. Mm-hmm. And I said, honestly, we're all in the same class.
Right.
But the only difference is that everyone around me kept saying, well, I'm going to do part of what you're saying, Steve.
Right.
And I just did 100% of what he said. I've always just took the philosophy, look, if you're making more money in the area I want to do, then you're clearly better than I am. So I'm just going to...
And I think you the one point you said is about letting your ego go, you know, checking it out the door. I did the same thing. And again, I mean, I was director at the U.S. Chamber, or the local chamber, you know, CEO of Girl Scouts. I mean, I was traveling the country speaking, but when I started my own business, I didn't know what to do, where to go. And I actually struggled with that until I hired a coach. I think having a coach or somebody on your side, I mean, I still work with coaches myself, but that just made a world of difference. And again, checking that ego at the door. And if somebody's doing something really great and they're making those dollars, you need to learn from them. And I mean, that was a huge aha moment for myself, even, you know, to say, this is what I have to do. I just have to put myself all in to make it happen.
Yeah, I love that. A cool definition that everyone kind of write down is that, you know, you think of like, what is stress? And if you go to my website, you can actually download my Big Idea ebook. And one of the concepts I talk about is the definition of stress. Mm-hmm. And stress is just nothing more than not knowing how to win. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. You're stressed when you don't know how to win in a situation. Well, okay, so if you don't know how to win, then what do you do? Well, you have to look at the people that are winning in the area that you feel stressed at.
Right.
Go and study them. You go surrender your ego to them.
Yes.
And you say, coach me, teach me. You clearly know what's going on. You need to ride their experience coattails. I mean, and I do this over and over again. I mean, a couple of years ago, we were Inc. 5000 fast growing company and the fast growing training company in Texas. And 2 weeks into the first of the year, it's a couple of years ago, my head of operations said, hey, Jason, in two weeks, we will not have enough money to make payroll. I'm like, how is that possible? How do we not have any cash left over to make payroll, but yet we just won Inc. 5000 fast growing training company in Texas?
Right.
And she said, we just don't have enough cash. Like we're not getting our bills. We're not collecting money fast enough. And,
right.
And so I immediately had to do some stuff about that. And so I did exactly what I always do. And so I found the person who is, you know, running a better business than me, much bigger business than me, wiser than me. And I went to him and I said, tell me exactly what to do to get out of this situation. I will surrender. Just get me out of this situation.
Right.
And he did. He got me out of it. And now that's what made my fascination of becoming profitable as an organization, because I was so focused on high revenue that I wasn't focused on profitability and focused on cash, which almost took my whole company down.
Yeah. And so it was a learning experience for you. And I mean, and that's so many people happen, but again, it goes back to, you need to learn from it. What is the opportunity then that you can take from that?
Yeah. And again, it's about life happening for you versus to you, because the thing that I told my team, of course, after I figured it out, right, I only let my two vice presidents know about it, Mary and Laura, because they're my right and left hand people in my company. But, you know, I didn't tell anyone else. I didn't want to freak them out. But after we solved the problem and we created a more profitable company, you know, I told them, I said, guys, this happens either for you or to you, because at the size of organization we are now, you know, I was able to make a phone call and get a $50,000 signature loan within 24 hours.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But what if we were 10 times the size of this? And what if the loan that we needed was, you know, $500,000 in 24 hours versus
$50,000? Right.
We couldn't have gotten it. So at this moment, we're never letting this happen to us again. And I'm so blessed that I only needed 50 grand to make this.
Yeah, you're keeping an eye on this story now.
That's right.
So what words of wisdom do you have for an entrepreneur that are really looking to pursue their path to success?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, again, I would say just a very simple thing is you have to find a person in your field that you want to be in.
Okay.
You need to study them like crazy. Mm-hmm. You need to, you know, I mean, if you look, it's crazy to me in the internet. I mean, just, I always say GTS it, you know, Google that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And just, I mean, just right now, if you wanted to type in the 10 secrets of Elon Musk, or the 5 leadership strategies of Warren Buffett, or the 6 strategies of Jeff Bezos of Amazon, I mean, they're all in there, you know? It's all there. And so all you got to do is you just have to study those people that are succeeding in areas you're not succeeding in. And you just gotta say, you know what? I'm not going to change it. And that's the problem that a lot of people have is they go, well, I'm going to learn a lot of stuff and I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
But it's going to take
How's that working?
It's going to take you a lifetime to figure it out.
Right.
You know, or you could go find someone that's doing it.
Right.
And say, you know what? I'm going to copy your, you know, I'm going to mimic your pattern, process, and strategy.
Right.
Now, once you get to their level, then make it your own. Then create your own art and bring your own innovation. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot easier to create your own art when you have money.
Much better. I mean, I did that too. I mean, I would follow people. I would joke and say I was a stalker because there were certain people that I would pick. I would, you know, men and women. And then I would follow them on Facebook. I would follow them on LinkedIn, you know, to see what they're doing. And like you said, follow them, do what they're doing, and then you could change it. And what was really interesting, and I actually had a phone call recently from a woman who said that she had been following me for over 10 years. She said back to when I was still CEO of Girl Scouts that she had been following me. And then now she's created her business like my business. So it was just really interesting to hear that now it's turning where I'm not stalking as much, but I still do. I'm not stalking as much. And then now I have other people, you know, following me and how I've been doing business. So that's really, really cool. Really great to hear.
Well, and Connie, it's interesting. I mean, just right now, just think about even something recently that someone has given you advice on that is performing at a higher level than you, just for the listeners right now, and ask yourself, are you doing the advice? And what's stopping you from doing the advice? What leashes do you have? Because I can think of one right now. You know, Jeffrey Hazlett is a mentor of mine. And, I know we were in this one conference a couple of years ago, the Million Dollar Speaker Group, and I was talking about different CRM providers. And I was telling the one we're using, and I said, hey, Jeffrey, you know, what's the one you're using? He was telling me the one, and there was a bunch of people at the table. And I said, okay, that's it. I'm going to cancel mine with one I got now, and I'm going to go use the one you're using. And it was interesting because a year later, we were in the same group, you know, the NSA, and he said, I bet you that you're the only one at this table that's shifted your CRM. And I said, really? There's no way. And he said, watch this. And so he went to like four other people that were in that same group. And he said, what CRM are you using? He said, oh, well, I'm still using the one we did last year. I hate it, but it's a horrible one. It's just, it's trash. But I just haven't converted. I haven't changed. And I went back to my company and I said, fire a current vendor and hire this one. Jeffrey's using it. He's clearly performing at a higher level.
So you trust him. You know, you respect people. I actually had somebody just call me this morning because I was doing something with my trademarking. And we were talking and we're in our mastermind group together, the Global Executive Women's Group. And she called me. Well, first she texted me and she said, I have an idea for you. I didn't know who it was because she was using a different number. And I responded back and I said, who is this? Oh, sorry. And then I picked up the phone or she called me and she's like, it's me. So, you know, Elizabeth McCormick, and I trust her dearly. And she said, I have advice for you. She goes, don't do it that way. Do it this way. I tried it that way. It didn't work. I said, okay, we hung up the phone and I already changed it.
Yeah.
And then I got on the call with you. I mean, it was, you know, I respected her. I trusted her. And I said, okay, that's how I'm doing it. Because I've been like, you know, driving myself crazy and how I was going to do this whole new trademark with our brand. So, well, I would love to keep chatting with you, but I know we've gone way over time. And so that's what happens when my production team isn't here. They don't keep me in control. They don't keep me in line. So we're going to have to end it there, but I really want to thank you for being here. This has been tremendous, fantastic. A lot of really, really good information. Author, speaker, podcaster, business extraordinaire, you know, leader. So just everything that you're doing, just thank you. Thank you for being here. And for everyone else out there that is listening, this is Connie Fife, and I am your Unstoppable Diva. And with us today again was Jason Forrest. Give us some really good ideas, really good tips about building your business. I mean, I was writing some notes down here, and I'm always a student and I'm always listening and I'm looking for that next best thing to help my business grow. And I know that I'm going to be at his event in Dallas, Texas on May 24th because it is following our C-suite event that is happening the same week. And I am going to be there. I hope that you're going to be there. And again, to get a 25% discount to attend, go to fpgseminar.com. Type in the discount code up or out and you will get that 25% discount. And again, I am going to be there. So I hope and I plan to see you there. So we have gone over time. So all I want to say is right now, thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of our community. And we want you to be that leader. And if you've already figured that out, please encourage others to do the same. And be sure to subscribe with us on iTunes and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. And also Instagram, because you don't want to miss any of the good stuff and that we continue to put out there for you. It's been great being here today. Ask yourself if you could do something different to get a different result. What would you be doing right now? This is Connie Fife, your Unstoppable Diva, and you're listening to Up Around with Connie. Until next time, be bold, be connected, be unstoppable together.